Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 233 on January 27th, 2019. Changing this world, one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid the recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. For example, $3 a month times 12 months equals $36, and you can get the same benefits as a monthly patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just beneath the patron button on the right-hand side of my website. And one more way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So, I don't have a patron update, you guys. I haven't quite gotten around to it, so I'm going to put that off until next week. So, if you've recently become my patron, because I have a couple of new ones, and you were waiting to hear your name, my apologies, but I'm happily going to say your name and thank you next week. So, jumping right into some stuff here, I'm going to talk a little bit about something that happened in the American Psychological Association. So, the American Psychological Association has been around for 127 years, and for the first time in its history, it has issued guidelines to help psychologists specifically address issues with men and boys. APA is the name of it, American Psychological Association. The APA previously released a number of guidelines for working with different patient populations, including girls and women in 2007, and guidelines for working with LGBT clients, older adults, plus racial and ethnic minorities. So this is a really big deal, and it's about time, and it just dovetails perfectly with a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about the man box and about what society does to men and insists that they act in these quote-unquote masculine ways, right? So listen to this. Socialization for conforming to traditional masculinity ideology has been shown to limit males' psychological development, constrain their behavior, result in gender role strain and gender role conflict, and negatively influence mental health and physical health. This is what the association wrote in their new guidelines. And the guideline, I'll give you the link to the PDF. You download it, you can read the whole thing. It's fascinating. It is somewhat in psychology ease, if you will. It's highbrow. You know, they use a lot of psychological terms. But the one that jumped out at me that I wanted to share with you was guideline number 7. Psychologists strive to reduce the high rates of problems boys and men face and act out in their lives, such as aggression, violence, substance abuse, and suicide. And then they have the rationale. Although the vast majority of males are not violent, boys and men commit nearly 90% of violent crimes in the United States. And this is from the United States Department of Justice 2011 stats. Many boys and men have been socialized to use aggression and violence as a means to resolve interpersonal conflict. And this is from another study. See, they have citations all over the place referring to other studies. That's a study called Moore and Stewart done in 2005. And it ends saying, family, peers, and media often reinforce the connection between aggressive behavior and masculinity. So this is just one of the guidelines for psychologists, and there's a whole bunch of them. It's absolutely fascinating. It's a big deal. They're finally saying the man box is unhealthy. Basically, it's what, I mean, that's my shorthand anyway. That's what I'm putting it to. This is like a first step, and this is an association that's been around for a really long time. So chinks in the armor, everybody, chinks in the armor. One of these days, we will see true gender equality, not just in terms of what we get paid for the same job, but how we raise our children, how we encourage them to be whole people, and stop doing the damage that's done by reinforcing rigid gender role behavior. Yes, indeed. So I was all excited about that when I found it. And if you have any interest at all, I do suggest you take a read. I'm going to put a link to not only the article about it, but a link to the PDF, which you, like I said, you can download and check out all of the guidelines as well. It's quite fascinating. So somewhat related to this thing that I just told you about, I recently had an interaction with someone on FetLife. I have a meme up there that says, "The way to a man's heart is through his ass." So this guy responds and he goes, "For a real man anyway." And I said, "There is no such thing as a real man. All men are real men. And if we can put aside the toxic masculinity competitive stuff, that would be awesome." And he kind of blew up at me, which is a common behavior when men are challenged on their comments like of this sort. And he came back and said, "Look, I'm the least competitive person I know, and this is called satire, so I'm sorry that you didn't understand it, but I'm not going to mansplain it to you." So, right, the figurative fists are flying here. And I said, "Well, okay, satire, I get it, but what you may not realize is the extent to which your kidding around reinforces the status quo. So it'd be great if you didn't do that, right?" And on another thread, this exact same person, I had a meme that said, and it's a kidding meme, you guys, okay, before you hear this, it was totally in jest, and I didn't mean to insult anyone, but the meme says, "More men should pull their heads out of their asses and put a dildo in there instead." And underneath it, I put, you know, "No disrespect meant, gentlemen, this is just a joke," right? So this guy comments, "Best offer I've had all day." And I said, "It wasn't an offer. Please don't sexualize me. And here's something I wrote about what sexualizing is." And again, he totally blew up at me and said, "Oh my God, you make assumptions and you're arrogant and blah, 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 blah. I didn't sexualize you at all. And so I don't know what your problem is. And if you can show me where I'm wrong, I'll apologize." And I said, "Well, you know, it's simply in the word offer. I mean, words matter. And no, I made no offer at all. The meme made no offer at all. I made a suggestion, but I made no personal offer whatsoever." So anyway, he kind of disappeared, and I think he deleted his profile. I'm not really sure, because when you block somebody on FetLife, the little pug dogs show up. Meaning, you know, you click on their profile, and these little pug dogs show up and say, "Yep, that profile's not found." So either you blocked them, or they don't exist anymore. But he just kind of disappeared, as did all of his comments. Here's the deal. I don't want to run around giving guys a hard time. And what I told him was, "I treated you respectfully. I asked you, please don't do this." And this is what this world needs more of, is all of us treating each other respectfully. And it's so easy to tip over into the other categories of giving somebody a hard time. At the end of our little back and forth, I did say, along with the idea that we should all treat each other with respect, and I did respectfully request that he not sexualize me, I did write, "Sadly, it got your panties in a twist." So, it's so hard not to get into like a verbal fight, but at the same time, I feel like I expressed myself well, and I expressed the boundary well. Okay, so what's this whole boundary, this sexualizing thing? You guys have heard me talk about this before, but you know what? I have had occasion to write a small piece about it, right? I wrote a piece about it because I wanted people to really understand what I was talking about. Because this happens all the time. And it happens even more when it is in an atmosphere online or in person where there's a lot of sexy stuff happening. So if you're on FetLife, clearly there's a lot of stuff happening. Somehow the boundaries disappear in some people's minds. And I'm going to make some generalizations here. More often it's men than women who make the crude comments and make the overtures and do the sexualizing or objectification. And more often it's the women who receive these things, but that's not across the board at all. And also there's other people out there that don't identify gender-wise who may be the subject of this as well, or trans people. See, I don't mean to leave anybody out here, but let me read you what I wrote because I think it's pretty cool. What does it mean to sexualize someone? Public service announcement. Let's talk about not sexualizing people. I realize many times comments like, I dream of you doing me, or I wish you could slide that deep inside me, or I need to come to California and we can get together, are playful. But please understand that I, and most women, do not appreciate receiving these comments. They make me, and most women, feel uncomfortable. I am not laughing, nor do most women. I get sexualized a lot because I talk or write freely about sex and my kinks. It's a common problem as a sex educator. And I also post fetching pics of myself. But my articles and pics are not invitations for anyone to sexualize me. They are an expression of my sexuality, the cool thing FetLife offers us, and not an invitation. Let me try to explain the difference. I will listen to stories about your sexual experiences. I will answer specific questions you have about BDSM or pegging. I will even give you advice on how to talk to your partner about BDSM or pegging. Here's where things can take a wrong turn. The moment you start talking about doing anything sexual with me, it pisses me off because that is sexualizing me and we do not even know each other. I don't care how far away from me you live or to what extent you meant it purely as a joke. Those types of comments all feel uncomfortable to receive. Please do not make them. So what is a better way to phrase it? A more respectful way? Compliment my appearance if you admire that. Compliment my equipment if you admire that. Say my pick or my writing turns you on if it does. The closest you can come to the line is perhaps to say you dream of finding someone like me someday. But draw the line at openly talking about having sex with me, no matter what kind of sex it is, even if you are kidding, because we are strangers, and it comes across as creepy and disrespectful. There is no such thing as it was just a joke here, folks. Also, please feel free to fantasize about anything under the sun. That's the cool part about fantasies. But if they involve me, I don't want to hear about them. Thank you kindly. And then I wrote a note at the bottom. I wrote this from my own perspective and personal experience, clearly, but I've made some gender binary generalizations. I know many women feel similarly because we've talked about it. But any gendered or non-gendered person may object to being sexualized. My intention was not to leave anyone out or label all people in any group, FYI. So there you go, people. That's the creative piece that came out of me around boundaries lately. And I know I've pretty much said the same thing on this podcast a number of times, and I've written other smaller pieces about it, but this one elaborates a bit more, mostly because I wanted to get really clear on it. I wanted to get really, really clear on it. So yes, if you are looking at these amazing pics that someone put up or reading this amazing piece of writing, you absolutely can compliment that. You can say how sexy it is, how you went and jerked off after you read it even. But you cannot sit there and say, makes me wanna fuck you, because that's not cool. And it's creepy and it feels bad. So if you just want to do the thing, it was just a joke, right? Well, guess what? We're not laughing. We are not laughing. It feels creepy and uncomfortable. So please don't do it. Okay. That's my rant, you guys. Thanks for listening. I'm trying very hard to keep educating people around this, because I think every time I do it, not only do hopefully some of the men who act this way learn a little bit, but everyone else listening or reading understands the boundaries a little better, understands that underlying everything needs to be a foundation of respect. And walking right up to a stranger and asking them if they want to fuck you or making some kind of sexual overture verbally is not respecting them. So yes, this is the boundary. This is the one where you should not step across the line. Please. All right, let's get to your letters. Rant over. Letter time. Hi, I'm Enzo, 34 years from France. I'm going to read this as written. It looks like Enzo's second language is English, so you'll be able to understand it, but it's a little not quite right. No worries. I'm just going to read it as opposed to correcting it as I go. I discovered your site through your podcast, Pegging Paradise, and I like it a lot. It's making 5 years that I practice pegging with my wife, and I'm going to tell you how I lived that experience. It brings me to think about what does make the pegging so intense. Why does makes it so lovely and romantic? When a woman you love purpose you a switch session, it behoove to let her have a taste of your freedom of giving a dominant love, having the lead of the pleasure intensity through rhythm and strength, the pleasure to see how you open her, your intimacy, and how easy she can break your barriers by seeing the dildo entering in your butthole inch after inch. The pleasure to give her those moans that nobody heard before. The pleasure to share a long look in the eyes while she goes really hard in missionary. And the pleasure often preceding the excitement after she makes me come. She takes me with more intensity, knowing that it's time for her to make me know that I'll never have such a good wife anywhere else. I can have given pleasure to many women, but she is the only who made me moan a strap-on inside of me. In brief, that experience invited me to live what does your partner feels. For the men, it reveal them love can be increased by a strap-on in doggy style, while you feel that you need to please your rider, same if it costs you to show her a nasty part of yourself. For the women, I suppose that it awakens the vicious side of them while having the disposal that making loose my damned man head, strapping his man's ass up while he's coming, I gave my virgin butt to my wife, like a testimony of my love. And now I really love it. First, I accepted it. Now I'm nearly begging for it. But pegging is being such a shameful activity that it's make doing this really exciting. I think that pegging is the most romantic thing to do nowadays. It's got to be knowed, but also a little bit hidden. No man would be happy that a friend of his would find a strap-on at his home. But it is permissible to have a wall of things to break in your relationship vision, fighting some shames of expressing your own fantasies, apprehending the fact that love is made of proofs, and that at this time that real lovermen are revealed. Lovermen go through this. They offer their ass virginity to girls that deserve. And by the way, I waited months before getting my wife's ass, then she gave it to me. How could I refuse to buy her a strap-on when she asked? But I refused, that I regret. A pegging proposal can come any time in your life, so think about it before that moment which may come in your life. The main problem that can make a man refuse, it is not that he doesn't want, the problem is that he don't want to be gay. More time you think like that, more opportunities you miss. And for my part, I regret to miss my 2002 summer because of that. I had good times too, but now I know that being at the end of my wife's strap-on is the hottest place on earth. One of the features of pegging is that it's got to be secret. It makes the thing really intimate. You can't tell anybody because it will have consequences, and I'm fine with it. So I went on internet to find advices to maybe live, one day, the best pegging ever with my wife, and I found your site. First of all, I want to shout it through your media. I love pegging. Then, thank you for your podcasts. They're wonderful. And I found a place where I can share my experiences, my feelings. It's agreeable to listen to your stories, your advices. Spit is not a lube. Your encouragements. My wife loves fucking my ass. Then she passed on to me her passion. Now I want to progress in that art to be the favorite playground of my wife. Pegging is very good to strengthen the ties in a relationship, and you may help couples like that. Sincerely, I like what you do. Continue like that. Your work is appreciated. Enzo. Wow, I so enjoy reading letters from people who English is a second language for them, because they use words so differently than I would and that most people would. And it's exciting for me because I just have a love affair with words. So, Enzo, thank you so much for that letter and the way that you wrote it and the story that you told. It was lovely to hear. I especially appreciated your advice about, you know, that proposal. Would your partner using a strap-on on you can come at any time in your life, so think about what you're going to say. I like that. Be prepared. And it sounds like that you got asked in 2012 and said no, and then you got asked again and you said yes. And you were definitely wishing now that you said yes in 2012. Congratulations that you gave your virgin butt to your wife. I'm not sure when it happened, but Enzo, this music is for you, and thank you so much for the letter. Here's another part of a letter that I wanted to read to you. We preach the gospel you taught us and lead by example. I have a nice plug-in as I type. The Mr. S. Leather, quote, most comfortable butt plug, end quote, is everything they say. 100% agree with their claim. Getting myself ready for my dearest wife's arrival this evening. I start with a formal welcome on my knees, then foot massage and honorifics, then serve her dinner and wine, and then, if she is inclined, after much worship and licking, she instructs me where to position myself and then pounds my ass until I have multiple orgasms, while she makes me beg for each one. I beg and beg and beg and come and come and come. I leave this planet entirely. I don't even know my own name. Oh, and sometimes she layers it with erotic hypnosis and various triggers. She owns me completely, and you were our mentor. All the best, Ubu. P.S. Screw Patreon. I think Ubu signed up as a recurring payment under PayPal, because if you kind of check that out in the donation thing, that is an option that you can do, even though PayPal is just as censorship heavy as Patreon is. It's just they haven't got my number yet. But for now, that $3 a month is very, very appreciated, Ubu. So he put this on the end of his response when I sent him the thank you letter of becoming a new patron. That's the only one that comes to mind that's the new patron I said I wasn't going to talk about. But I had to read Ubu's letter because it's way cool. Okay, and here is a lovely letter that I got from someone who took my class. I've been dating a really great guy over the past few months. Things are going splendidly, and he was delighted to learn I have a strap-on. We've been relishing in our slow, pre-pegging exploration. I'm so glad I heeded your advice on that. I'm learning so much about his body and how we communicate. The other night, using my hands and a small probe about the size of a large thumb, he orgasmed like nothing I've ever witnessed. It was so full-bodied. The energy was amazing and incredibly long-lasting. My boyfriend said it was the best orgasm of his entire life. We were both pretty blown away, actually, and are now eager to try the strap-on. I was really taken by how much this has affected me as well. It's quite profound, being allowed into a man's body in such an intimate and vulnerable manner. What a remarkable way to experience his masculinity and discover my power. I have goosebumps just thinking about it. Thank you for being such a knowledgeable and inspiring teacher, Ruby. You made two people extremely happy. Well, when that strap-on goes on, I am so ready to play the music for you, my friend. Thank you for writing in with that story, and you are so welcome. I'm really glad that you took my advice of taking things slowly, and you wrote eloquently about how that is, because yes, you can learn so much by taking the slow road. It can be really exciting to go buy the equipment and go home and do it. But at the same time, think about all those things that you could have as firsts, like the first time you slide your finger in his ass and search for his prostate, or the first time you slide a toy in there, or the first time that you put that strap-on on and fuck him. I mean, there's so many things, from rimming to finger play to toy play, and you can incorporate that in and around before, after your sexy times. You totally can. And it's so fun. It can be this delicious anticipation thing. Wednesday's going to be your ass night. Well, it doesn't have to be Wednesday. Clearly, you can choose any day you want. But you get the point. It can be like, oh, we're going to do sexy ass time tonight. It can be very, very fun. So I'm thrilled that you guys are taking the slow road. It's totally, totally cool. Yes, the pre-pegging exploration done gradually and slowly can be absolutely delicious. Have fun, you two. Here's my next letter. Hi, Ruby. Happy New Year to you. I love receiving anal play way more than my wife loves giving it. She will offer it on very special occasions, but otherwise really prefers not to engage in this activity. In the past, I would ask her when I have a tough time kicking the urge. She would mostly decline, but sometimes respond with a reluctant, get some gloves. I feel guilty asking her to indulge in something solely for me, so I bought a silicone dildo that she used on me on one amazing occasion, hand-holding it, and have been anally masturbating rather than asking her to do it. I still prefer her fingers or her involvement generally, but this does help scratch the itch, so to speak. My question is, I wonder if there's a risk of getting used to playing only with anal stimulation, and I might have a harder time during regular PIV sex. I tried incorporating a butt plug during sex, but this made me finish way too quickly. Kindest regards. So, kudos to you for taking things into your own hands, so to speak, and scratching that itch so that you're not putting pressure on your wife. I have all my usual questions, and if you listen to my podcast, you'll know what these are. Has she listened to podcast number 112? It would be really good if she does, because if she says she doesn't like it, it can be that she doesn't like it for a whole number of reasons that she doesn't want to do it. But if she has listened to podcast number 112 and she's not into it, it's not her thing, then yes, it's awesome that you have taken things into your own hand. And I encourage you to explore the world of fucking yourself, because there's a whole bunch of different toys that you can use. There are cushions that you can put a toy in and rock on. There's all kinds of stuff. Suction cup dildos in the shower or up against any really smooth surface. The shock rocker, that's another one. I've posted the link for this next one like three different times now. The Chinese fucking machine that my friend sent me a link to and said it was awesome. What else is there? There is also this cushion called the Perfect Pleasure Cushion, and it's really remarkably versatile in so many ways I can't even begin to describe to you. You can ride it, you can push it up against a wall and use it to fuck yourself, and it's good for men as well as women. You can put toys in there, you can put longer, shorter toys in there, you can put a vibe in there. There's so many different things you could do. So I'm going to put a link to that too. It's something that I have one of, that I have tried out, that I heartily recommend. So you can take a look at it. It's an amazing, amazing cushion. So that, in terms of fucking yourself, is an awesome thing. You might want to check that out as well. So I'll put links to all of those things in the Linkorama for all of you receivers out there who are interested in doing the best job you can do of fucking yourself and scratching that itch. So, okay, that's all about how to fuck yourself and the cool things that you can use to fuck yourself with. But your question was, is there a risk of getting too used to playing only with anal stimulation, which would give you a harder time during regular PIV sex? I do not think that there is a danger in this. I have actually heard from receivers that after pegging and receiving a lot of prostate stimulation, their cocks kind of, you know, it's like you take 10 years off of it. All of a sudden you can get it harder and you can stay harder longer. And it has more powerful orgasms. Now, in terms of your cravings, I've absolutely heard receivers talk about how once they get anal stimulation, that's really all they want. I've heard that. And basically, when you're in a relationship, you just have to compromise. Yeah, you might be totally in love with having something up your ass, and you may want it every single time for sexy times. But that's not fair to your partner, so there you go. So I like that you are watching out for her needs in this whole formula, in this whole scenario, and that you were concerned that too much play on your part would have an adverse effect on that. I do not believe it will at all. And I'm not surprised that when you put a butt plug in, you finish too fast during PIV sex because it's pretty fucking hot. And that's the thing. In fact, I tell some receivers to do that so that their partners can see how intense it is to receive anal play when they have partners who are just kind of like, no, man, I'm not playing with that part of your body. That's one of the things you can do to sort of intrigue them, is to see how powerful of an orgasm their partner has when they have something in their ass and they're fucking you, basically. Anyway, I don't think it's a problem. I really don't. If anybody has any other information to the contrary, please write in and let us know. Okay, I heard back from the guy in podcast number 225. The title of his letter last time was, "Does She Really Enjoy It? Unsure in Wyoming." And the title of his letter this time is, "Updates from the Square State." I like it. I've never thought about square states before, actually. I don't know if I've ever heard that term. And here you go. "I'm glad that I finally got a chance to write back. My job takes me all over, and while I've listened to your advice, no idea which episode it was, it's taken months to see progress. I suppose in my last email I may have left some things a bit foggy. My wife and I communicate well in literally every aspect of life but sex, so we took your advice and sought out a sex-friendly therapist. I tell you that it is not an easy thing to do in Wyoming. We had to drive from Casper to Laramie to see her. Anyway, it was not easy to talk to a therapist for me in any way. As a man that practices the hard sciences, parentheses, biology, I find psychology to be a pseudoscience. But that doesn't necessarily mean I don't believe it can help people. So finally we go in and are given advice. Quote, go home, have sex, pick one thing you liked and one thing you didn't like about the sex, write it down and give it to each other, and use those as speaking points," end quote. So we did. This continued on for a while until we had face-to-face conversations about it. Well, over Christmas vacation, our son stayed with his grandparents, and I got pegged 3 times in 1 week. Here's how it went down. I came home from work on December 26th, my boss having made my life suck. I was cold, wet, hungry, tired, and sore. I walked in the door, took my boots off, and Jen was in the kitchen making supper. She looked me up and down and said, I put your underwear and sweats in the bathroom for you. Why don't you get showered and I'll finish supper? So that is just what I did. After getting out of the shower, I wrapped up in my robe and walked to the bedroom and sat on my bed. I don't know what happened, but I laid down and dozed off. The next thing I know, I wake up to a hand squeezing my butt cheek. I went to roll over, and Jen, grabbing a handful of my hair, pressed my face into the pillow in a very aggressive way. I tried to turn my head so I could see her, but she just twisted my hair and told me not to move, all the while rubbing and squeezing my booty. Then I felt the cool drip of lube as she squirted it in my butt crack and started rubbing my hole. I groaned a little, and she asked me if it felt nice, to which I said, uh-huh. She kept rubbing. How about this, she said, while sliding a finger up my ass. My only reaction was to moan and push my ass up a little bit. She kept fingering me for an unknown amount of time before adding another finger to get me ready for her, quote, majestic man-fucker, end quote, as she calls it. Then she was climbing on me. I could feel the tip of the dildo pressed against me, and as she pushed inside of me, I moaned, and she said, you moan like a slut. She gently fucked me for hell if I know how long before we changed positions, and I finished off inside her in about 10 minutes. We talked about all the details after, and she said, I like fucking your butt. You make a wonderful butt slut. So the entire dynamic of our marriage has changed. In the mornings, if she puts a necklace on me, I know that in the evening after work, I have to play the part of the submissive butt slut. If I don't, I get fucked, but climax is denied. Wow, things really have changed. The suggestion that the therapist gave you is excellent. That's a really, really good one. Have sex, write down one thing you like and one thing you didn't, and use it as talking points and have a conversation. And it sounds like it just completely opened up the path of communication in that area in your life. How wonderful for you two. And how wonderful that you're getting fucked so much. Oh my gosh, it's really a dramatic change, goodness sakes. The name she gave her dildo is fucking awesome. The Majestic Man Fucker. It makes me want to know, like, what brand it is or what color it is and everything like that, because I want to know what a dildo looks like if it's called Majestic Man Fucker. It does sound like your wife is getting in touch with her dominant side, and it sounds like you are freaking loving it. So congratulations, you two. Thank you so much for sharing that story so vividly. It was really hot. Enjoy. And you know, that whole idea about putting the necklace on, oh my gosh, that makes you anticipate it all day. Anticipation is delicious, you guys, it really is. And so you're sitting there working all day with this necklace on, and you're hyper aware that, oh my God, she's going to fuck me when I get home, oh my God, and I'm going to have to do what she says, and if I don't do what she says, then she's going to fuck me and I won't get to come. Yes. It's a streak of brilliance there in your wife. She definitely has some dominant underpinnings, or perhaps she's been doing a lot of research, which is what I did when I was exploring my own dominance, trying to learn from other things that I found written and adopt those different ideas. So yes, yay for you too. Thanks for sharing the story once again. Thanks. Here's my next letter. This one's titled, When Do I Give Up on My Fantasies? Hello, Ruby. I hope that you've been well. I haven't written you in a while, but I need your input on something. I know that in the past you've spoken quite honestly about being in a relationship in which the two of you weren't sexually compatible, but I wondered if that was the biggest reason for your eventual divorce, or was that just one of the many straws on the proverbial camel's back? I've really been wondering if it is possible for a couple that is not sexually compatible to survive. A few things about our sex life. One, in my relationship, I am the one that has the high sex drive, and regretfully my partner does not. I desire her all of the time and would love to have sex daily, but unfortunately, we will sometimes go weeks to a month without sex, and with the stresses of life, work, and family, it gets even less frequent as time goes on. Number two, I am above average in size, and sex is usually pretty painful for her. The majority of the time that we have sex, I'm so concerned about hurting her that many times I can't or don't orgasm because I keep stopping out of concern for her being in pain. Number three, I've shared all of my fantasies with her, including the biggest one of pegging, but she does not have any crazy or wild fantasies of her own that she wants to try. She's extremely vanilla and very passive in the bedroom. Number four, she doesn't like giving me blowjobs because cum makes her gag. When I go down on her, she refuses to kiss me afterwards because she doesn't want to taste herself. She thinks spanking is too painful. Taking pictures for me is embarrassing and unflattering. Number five, she had a horrible ex-boyfriend that forced her into many painful and degrading anal experiences, which turned her off to the act. She did listen to podcast number 112 for me when you first posted it, and I thought that it would open her up to anal exploration with me, but more than 3 years later, we appear to have regressed to no more than her occasionally rubbing my taint during sex. I really believed that the longer that we were together, the more trust and desire would grow, and the more open and sexual she would be towards me, but that doesn't seem to be the case at all. Some days, part of me feels so undesired by and unattractive to her. Part of me feels sad that I may be relegated to having a lifetime of occasional boring sex. Part of me feels deceived that I was told things would get better in time, only for our sex lives to remain the same. The biggest part of me feels angry that sex is or was so important to me, and as much as I wish I could now, I just haven't been able to ignore or forget about it. I've left clues about my fantasies. I've spoken honestly about my desires. We've openly communicated about our troubles in the bedroom. I massage her, buy her flowers. During sex, I've spent time focusing on her needs and making sure she is taken care of and reaches orgasm. I've sent her pictures, podcasts, and articles. Right now, I'm not sure what else I should or can do. If you have someone that is so kind and good to you in every other way, is there any point where you would just give up on pegging or other sexual fantasies just to be with them? Do a lot of couples stay together and just let sex fall by the wayside? Is pegging worth a relationship? Any advice you could give would be greatly appreciated. So I'm going to give the advice, but this guy wrote back, and I'll read that afterwards. So here are the things that jump out at me about your message. First of all, I really, really feel for you. I know how awful it is to be in a relationship where your partner doesn't want sex. That happened to me in my second marriage. And yes, you just can feel so unattractive and so undesired, and it can really fuck with your self-confidence. So I feel for you, sir. I really do. And I know that it's such a difficult place to be. The other thing that jumped right out at me is that sex is painful for her. PIV is painful for her. This may sound really bizarre, but you know, maybe you should just take PIV off the table. Maybe that should not be something that happens, because why would you want to do something more often that is painful? I mean, that's logic, right? What incentive is there for her to want to do something more often if it's painful? Of course she wouldn't want to do it more often. Now, at this juncture, I'm going to say that this is above my pay grade and you should definitely go see a therapist. But to answer your other questions, here's the deal. So if you two are just so in love and fond of each other and you have no desire to separate because everything else about the relationship is working great, then there has to be a conversation about how you can go get your needs met elsewhere. There are absolutely relationships that I think are termed companionate marriages, where you have so much love and respect and kindness and compassion and perhaps a family together with each other that you stay together and you have an agreement that you can get your needs met elsewhere. If she doesn't want to get her needs met or if she doesn't have any other needs, that's fine. But if you do, you cannot be expected to just put them on the shelf for the rest of your life. So it kind of broke my heart a little bit that you were talking about you wish you could just forget about sex and make it go away because the rest of your relationship is so good and that's the biggest pain point. That's the only pain point, basically. It does sound like you were very mismatched with libido, and I'm not sure if this is something that she would be okay with for your needs to get met elsewhere. On the other hand, it is unreasonable to expect someone to shelve their sexual needs because you are in a space where you don't want to give them for whatever reason you have. Now, part of the reason I recommended therapy was because your libido seems so mismatched, but also because it sounds like she suffered some trauma. So it's quite possible if she worked through that trauma, she might be much more willing to explore with you. She might find that her libido comes back a little bit, especially if you end up doing things that are never painful for her and just find alternative things to do sexually. You know, maybe it's better to use toys on her if she likes penetration. Because if it's painful, like I said, who would want to do that all the time? You want to do something that feels good. Sex feels good. That's the whole point of sex, is that it feels good. So let me look at your other questions at the end of this. Do a lot of couples stay together and just let sex fall by the wayside? Yes, they do. But you know, those relationships where nothing is discussed and no one's getting their needs met elsewhere, those are kind of sad relationships, in my opinion. If it's a consensual thing and you both kind of go, you know what, we're just kind of done with sex. We're not that thrilled with it and we never really liked it or something like that, awesome. But if it's not consensual and you don't feel the same way about it, it creates this real push and pull, uncomfortable, hard place in your marriage with a lot of resentment. And why wouldn't there be resentment? Like you say, if you have a monogamous agreement, then that person, to a certain extent, is responsible for continuing to have a sexual relationship with you so that you can get your needs met. And you don't say how old you are, and I can't recall from your other letters, but at the same time, it doesn't sound like you're in your 60s, okay? If you're in your 60s, sometimes that happens. You just kind of go, you know what, I went through menopause and I am so not interested anymore. But that's not what it sounds like. It sounds like you guys are raising a family together and that you were younger than that. So is pegging worth a relationship? You are the only one that can decide that, sir. You really, really are. That is a difficult question for some people and an easy question for others. And I really don't have any input on that question for you. So let me read your next letter. Hello, Ruby. I messaged you a few days ago, but that was before I listened to your podcasts and viewed the Reddit boards about dead bedrooms. Listening to and looking at the issues that many others are facing, it was easy to relate. I do feel that for some of us, dead bedroom would be a very extreme way of defining our experience. I can't say that my sex life is dead, but it certainly is not a very active one. It's probably more of a hospice or ICU bedroom instead of a dead one. Not really sure if there is a better name for it. I definitely agree with many of the Redditors on how depressive it can make a person feel. I've had to deal with the sadness, the feeling of being undesired or feeling like I am unattractive to my partner or anyone else, even though she swears that that is not the case. I've also noticed how frustrations with our sexual intimacy can occasionally affect other aspects of my life. It can lower my confidence in day-to-day life, my ability to confide in her about things, and my desire for sex when she does offer it to me. From the beginning of our relationship, I was aware that my partner already had a much lower sex drive than me. But add to that horrible experiences with an ex-boyfriend and vaginal pain during intercourse, it is just the perfect storm for a struggling sex life. Unfortunately, where we differ the most is with our fantasies. I have brought up conversations about fantasies a number of times, and I've finally come to the realization that she is extremely, extremely vanilla and not really into fantasies of her own. She could and would be perfectly fine with nothing more than some occasional missionary sex. I did mention pegging and anal stimulation, and she listened to podcast number 112 for me after some promising initial play with fingers and toys. Things have again slowed, and we have fallen back into our rut. When I mention strap-ons or pegging, the common response is, maybe we can try it someday. Not sure if that someday means 10, 20, or 30 years from now, or is it a less argumentative way of saying never? I realize that if things are ever to get better in the bedroom, we both need some type of sexual and emotional counseling. We need to find out what is causing her the physical pain during sex, and I have to learn to accept that certain fantasies like pegging may be too much for her or us. I hope that I can still enjoy pictures, movies, and stories of pegging and get my fulfillment for it in that way. Sorry about the long message/rant. Hope you are doing well. Oh goodness, do not apologize for writing in and telling your story. And I'm glad that you wrote back and filled in a few more details. And I'm also really happy that you have realized that yes, counseling is warranted here. It totally, totally is. And it's an excellent thought that she needs to have herself checked to find out why she's having the pain during PIV. But you know what? PIV is a default for most people. And like I mentioned when I responded to your first letter, it doesn't necessarily have to be. There's lots of different ways to have sex. So maybe if you incorporate some toys and maybe some oral sex with her and things like that, and not the PIV, and then she does something else to you, like even starting out with a handjob, you get the point. But I'm really glad that you're talking about going to therapy. That's an excellent first step. And the other thing that I noticed, and the therapist can probably help you with this, but the other thing that I noticed is that you said when you mentioned strap-ons or pegging, the common response is maybe we can try it someday. I would gently and kindly, when you feel like the time is right, and perhaps you want to check with the therapist about that, tell her, I need a date. I would like a date, please. I've been waiting a long, long time for this, and I would love to try it, and can you please give me a date? Because the putting you off endlessly is really frustrating, and you can tell her that. You know, I feel like you're putting me off endlessly about this. So if you really don't want to do it, and you're never going to want to do it, I need to know that. I need to know that. Now, I don't know if she knows that you're considering leaving the relationship because this is so difficult for you. And I can absolutely hear how difficult it is for you. You know, I listen to Dan Savage now and again, and it always breaks my heart when he gets somebody who writes in like this because he says, you know, when you start dating someone and you are aware right off the bat that you have mismatched libidos, be freaking honest about it and realize it and don't go forward because this is what happens. You end up with one partner just heartbroken and feeling unattractive and feeling unappealing and with their self-confidence just in tatters. It's so awful to do to a person. So if you are one of those people that really doesn't like sex all that much, be honest that you don't like sex that much. If you only want it once a week, then say, you know what? I'm fine with sex once a week. And no, I don't think I'm ever going to be one of those people that's once a day. Now, ideally, you know this when you meet someone and you're dating and you're thinking about having a life with them. And if you do know it, you need to tell your partner because otherwise you're letting your partner in for this experience of anguish, really. It's awful when you have vastly mismatched libidos, as you can hear from this guy's letter. So yes, oh my goodness, go to counseling, see what you think, start digging in. Good luck to you. I hope it all turns out. Please let us know how it goes. And thanks for writing and telling us the story. So this next little piece of erotica I'm going to read to you is something that someone sent me on FetLife a long, long, long time ago. When I very first got on FetLife, my profile name was Soulfulness. And I knew that this was an ancient letter, even though it did have a rough date on it, because he's calling me Soulfulness, this guy. So I came across this, and I realized I didn't even respond to this. I mean, we've had conversations since then, but I thought it was a cool little piece of writing. So I thought I'd share it with you guys. The name of the piece, it's not very long at all, and the name of the piece is called The Choice. And here's what he wrote about it. I noticed what you said in your profile about orgasm control, so I thought a story like this might appeal to you as it does to me. Hope you enjoy it. It had been a week and a half since his last orgasm, and she'd been teasing him all along. She had come by his tongue many times, and had had him fuck her so sweetly on occasion, but he had only been repeatedly edged, and had never been allowed to come. And he was gone. He was hers, and he was gone, in that way that made him even more hers. She had sent him into subspace and was keeping him there, for they both needed to feel her control, and feel it they did. As he lay resting his cheek against her inner thigh after having brought her off yet again, she looked deeply into his eyes. She loved him so much, and he her. So she decided to give him a choice because she really wanted to know. She wanted to know just exactly where he was and exactly the intent to which he was hers. She moved to where she could take his cock into her mouth, and she began to kiss and lick it, ever so slowly, ever so sweetly, and while looking so deeply into his eyes. He was in bliss, but she knew him well enough to know that for him there was more. "You've been so good, so very, very good," she said, "that I'm ready to let you come. You really have earned it, and I really want you to have it." All he could do was moan happily and somewhat desperately in response. "However," she said, "instead of that, I'd also be happy to fuck you. I know how much you like that, too. But if I fuck you, you'll have no way of knowing when your next orgasm will be, and the choice is yours to make." There was silence as she slowly continued to dance her tongue along his cock. She waited, knowing how much he wanted to come, and yet she also knew that he was torn. He wanted to come, but he also wanted, no, needed, to feel as deeply as he could that he was hers. "Please, mistress," she soon heard him say, "please, please let me feel you inside of me." And she knew there would be more to come. She would have him singing in no time flat, and it would be a lovely song indeed. He would sing of his love for her, and of how he is her submissive, and wants nothing more than that, and of how, in fact, he would trade any number of orgasms to feel her deep inside of him, reaching into him, and taking his soul and making it entirely hers. Oftentimes he would start to sing like this and wouldn't stop until he could no longer feel her inside of him, which was why she had recently purchased an inflatable gag. He really did need it at both ends sometimes. She couldn't help but smile to herself as she lubed up her strap-on. There had never really been a choice for him to begin with, had there? He could never have chosen other than as he did, which was a good part of why he was hers to begin with. Ha ha! That's a hot story about orgasm control. That's totally hot. And you know, I noticed that he didn't, in the entire thing, mention any kind of a chastity device. So this is like orgasm control. Sweet. I'm so glad I found that. Okay, let's see. To close here, the next webinar is Sunday, January 26th at, I believe, is 10 in the morning. I also want to let you know that the pegging munch that I'm starting in Thousand Oaks starts February 5th. It'll be the first Tuesday of every even-numbered month. And I have to share with you that I had mentioned this to a friend of mine, and I saw her out and about, and then I found a message from her on FetLife when I got home in it. And she says, "When is the buttfuckers munch?" And yes, I suppose you could call it that, the buttfuckers munch, even though we're definitely going to be talking about the receivers who have prostates, even though a lot of the information that we talk about, I'm sure, will be helpful for anyone engaging in anal sex. So anyway, that inaugural pegging munch in Thousand Oaks is February 5th at Mimi's in Thousand Oaks, and you can find the event link on FetLife. I hope to see some of you there. Okay, you can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. And pretty soon, I'm going to have a link for my MeWe page, too. That is my replacement social platform for the dying, censored Facebook, who keeps putting people in jail for stupid shit, and who sells our information, and who fucks with our government, and okay, we can just leave that right there. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Please send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too wild, too wicked, or too wimpy. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox. Or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging!